Eclipse tries to move forward after a challenging 6 months. EADS considers having just one chief executive. And the European Union tries to solve its 27-piece aviation puzzle. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Our apologies for a technical glitch that delayed yesterday's AeroCasts. I guess it's good we're getting the gremlins out now before we hit the road for Oshkosh next week. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 10th, 2007. Eclipse Aviation President Vern Rayburn is out with an update to customers after what's been a very challenging first half of 2007. Revamping the Avio system, production and supplier problems, problems with freezing pitot systems, and more have tended to overshadow the positive developments at the company. On the good news side, Eclipse delivered its first customer aircraft and the first jets to its largest customer, Dayjet. The company received its production certificate from the FAA in April. In his update, Rayburn acknowledges, quote, both the significant problems and very significant progress we have made, unquote. He notes the pitot and angle of attack system has been redesigned, successfully tested, and results are now in the hands of the FAA for recertification. Rayburn also notes that Eclipse certified 26 planes in the second quarter of 2007. That's far fewer than planned, but a big jump over the 4 planes certified in the first quarter. But the FAA has, of all things, reversed its previous approval of the size of the N numbers on the Eclipse 500. At first, it was determined that 6-inch high characters would be adequate. Now, the FAA wants numbers as large as practical on all Eclipse 500s. Rayburn says aircraft number 29 and up will have those larger numbers, while earlier planes will have numbers repainted when they're in for performance upgrades. At least the problems are getting smaller. Perhaps the second half of 2007 will be better for Eclipse than the first was. Recent criticism of the management structure at EADS may actually be prompting change. The Wall Street Journal reports there's talk at EADS of removing the current dual chief executive structure, in which German and French executives share the CEO and chairman titles. It's not clear, however, whether a one CEO system would ease tensions between French and German shareholders or make them worse. Under the plan said to be in the works, EADS shareholders would name a Frenchman as sole chairman of the consortium, presumably current co-chairman Arnaud Lagardère, or former EADS co-CEO Philippe Camus. The current German co-chairman, Rüdiger Grub, would not remain in that position, according to the unnamed source of the story. Tom Enders, who's a German, currently shares the CEO title at EADS with Louis Gallo, a Frenchman, who is also chief executive at Airbus. Gallo would keep that role, but lose the co-CEO title for EADS. It's thought the company's trying to work out the details in time for next Monday's meeting between new French President Nicolas Sarkozy and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. EADS blamed restructuring costs for a reported first quarter net loss of $13.6 million this year. The company posted a $709 million profit for the same period in 2006. A group of experts in the European Union issued a report on Friday blaming Europe's fragmented airspace management for making air travel in Europe 70% less cost-efficient than in the U.S. The so-called high-level group urges European governments to put aside outdated provincial management schemes and bring European skies under one uniform airspace system. The Associated Press reports that the financial waste created for flyers by the 27-country patchwork comes in at $4.4 billion a year. Airline groups praised that report. And the Civil Air Patrol is still looking for a missing single-engine light plane that took off Saturday from Aurora State Airport south of Portland, Oregon. A report on Seattle TV station KOMO identified the plane as, quote, a new single-engine Piper Cub, unquote. Since we know there's no such thing, it's not clear whether the plane is a restored J-3 or a newer reproduction. The pilot was identified only as a retired airline pilot who was making a series of local practice flights from Aurora. Search crews have been looking since Sunday afternoon. Up next on ANN, Vertical Power introduces 21st century wiring for experimentals. Northwest flight attendants call for their boss's head. And the FAA clears U.S. Airways in a drunk driving case. You're listening to Aero News.
Hi, Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 10th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Vertical Power of Albuquerque, New Mexico, tells ANN it will unveil its new VP-200 at AirVenture. The VP-200 uses microprocessors and solid-state switches to provide advanced electrical system features, simplified aircraft wiring, and the ability to eliminate dozens of modules, breakers, and switches typically found in modern aircraft. The VP-200 is geared toward experimental and light sport aircraft. Company sources say the system is a change as significant as the move away from VOR to GPS navigation. In contrast to a switch and circuit breaker panel that requires mechanical or electrical modifications to support changes, the VP-200 can be configured using setup menus. This allows the system to be configured for the wide range of designs found among experimental aircraft and allows future changes to be made very easily. Future software upgrades can be downloaded from the Vertical Power website and installed via USB port. The VP-200 will retail for $6,495. And the VP-200 Duo for managing two redundant buses is $99.95. Both will begin shipping in August. Last week, Northwest Airlines flight attendants, represented by the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, called for the resignation of Northwest Airlines President and Chief Executive Officer Douglas Steenland. The union says Northwest currently faces severe staffing shortages, record flight cancellations, low employee morale, and outraged customers, and says they're all the direct result of poor management by Steenland. As ANN reported, nearly a third of Northwest's flights were canceled during the last week in June due to what the carrier termed a shortage of available pilots and other employees. Storms also delayed several flights, which in turn led to pilots reaching contractual hours limits, making them unable to fly. The pilots' union contract limits them to 90 hours of flying time a month, and federal law permits only 10 hours of overtime beyond that. Storms and other delays eat into that time. Northwest flight attendants are still miffed that Steenland got millions in executive compensation after union members made deep concessions to keep the carrier afloat through reorganization. The Federal Aviation Administration has cleared U.S. Airways of wrongdoing in the case of an intoxicated passenger who got behind the wheel and killed himself and a family of five. Dana Pabst was on a U.S. Airways flight to Albuquerque, New Mexico in November 2006 and was served alcohol. After disembarking, Pabst got into his vehicle, turned the wrong way on Interstate 25 near Santa Fe, and struck another vehicle head-on. His blood alcohol level at the time was four times the legal limit. Police said Pabst also bought beer at a convenience store after the flight. New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson criticized the FAA, saying the agency should have conducted a more thorough investigation. He says the outcome is not surprising, given no passenger testimony was taken. According to the AP, Pabst had five DWI arrests prior to that November crash. Pilot Rob Hillerich wants to lease space at the Chicago Executive Airport on which to open a self-serve fueling station for piston aircraft, but his proposal has been denied by the airport board, so he's filed a complaint with the FAA. Hillerich wanted to install underground tanks and equipment to provide 100 low-lead aviation gasoline and Jet A in a self-serve format. He maintains that his plan would offer savings of about $1 per gallon, since costs for fuel trucks and operators would be saved. Hillerich also owns a wholesale automotive parts business and a gas station in Glenview, Illinois. Chicago Executive Airport Manager Dennis Rouleau told the Chicago Tribune the issue is a question of fairness to current fuel providers and the millions of dollars they've spent on facilities and equipment. Quote, it's easy to have someone sell fuel, but we want them to offer other services and facilities, unquote. FAA spokesman Tony Molinaro says the agency may investigate but has yet to determine whether the complaint has merit. Still ahead, amid the hoopla, Boeing signs another 787 deal. A satellite maneuvers to avoid Chinese space debris. And a young Muslim airline passenger falls victim to current events. You are listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
When you can't be flying, you'd rather be, well, flying. Wings to Adventure Television is the next best thing. Hi, I'm Tom Gresham. Come join us as we fly old classics and new speedsters. We hit the best aviation museums and reveal fly-in hideaways. And it's all shot in breathtaking high-definition video. As host and producer, I get to pick what's on the show. So I always have fun, and I guarantee that you will too. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Airtimes and days are at wingstoadventure.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3199. Or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 10th, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. For Boeing, the unveiling of the Dreamliner was the weekend's big news, but not the only news. The company also announced yet another new order for the 787. Aviation Lease and Finance Company of Kuwait held a formal signing ceremony Saturday for the direct purchase of 10 787-8 Dreamliners. Valued at $1.6 billion at list prices, the new purchase builds on an existing order for 12 787s that Alafco announced in March. The company was the first Middle East customer to finalize its order for the wildly popular Dreamliner. Meanwhile, eagle-eyed viewers of Sunday's unveiling ceremony for the 787 spotted what was either an oversight or the clever start of a gossip campaign. During a showing of tail designs for all 47 announced Dreamliner buyers, a 48th was slipped in, the tail of a Qatar Airways plane. In a statement Monday, Boeing confirmed the showing of a Qatar tail was no accident, but declined further comment. Qatar representatives remained mum on the deal. The airline placed an order for 80 Airbus A350 XWBs, which is a rival to the 787, at this year's Paris Air Show. When China tested an anti-satellite weapon in January by blowing up one of its own obsolete weather sats, military strategists the world over began analyzing the strategic importance of the new capability. But the scientists responsible for other satellites had to immediately start planning ways to avoid the resulting cloud of orbital debris. According to Fox News, flight controllers at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland had to maneuver the Terra Environmental spacecraft in late June to avoid the orbiting shrapnel. NASA officials said it was the first such evasive maneuver required after the January test by the Chinese. Controllers reportedly fired Terra's thrusters briefly on June 22nd after a week of tracking indicated a 7% chance the satellite would have collided with the debris the following day. London's Sunday Sun reports that a young Muslim was booted off a Thompson Fly flight at Newcastle International Airport after asking cabin crew if he could pray before his flight. The incident took place while the UK was still on high alert following the discovery of car bombs on Saturday in London and the attempted SUV attack on Glasgow Airport Saturday. The paper reports the man was bound for a vacation in Spain with friends. When he asked staff if he could go in the galley area, which can be curtained off from passengers, and offer prayers before takeoff, when a flight attendant passed on the request to the plane's captain, the man was ordered off the aircraft. A spokeswoman for Thompson did not deny the incident. Quote, "The captain has the right to remove passengers from a flight if he feels their behavior is detrimental to other customers. For legal reasons, we are unable to comment any further." Unquote. The man was reported to have been found with only a bottle of water and a prayer mat. He was not arrested. Muslim groups are asking the man to come forward to let them intervene on his behalf. And finally, come on, admit it. This is an opportunity you've waited years for. On Monday, the U.S. Department of Transportation asked for public comment on possible changes to the rules governing airline overbooking and the bumping of some passengers as a result. Among the ideas under discussion, an increase in the compensation due passengers who are bumped from oversold flights. The bumping rules were first adopted in 1962 to balance the rights of passengers with the needs of air carriers to minimize the effect of passengers with reservations who don't take their flights. The department asked for comment on five proposals. Those range from a more than tripling of the current compensation levels to leaving them where they are. DOT also wants comments on the idea of extending bumping rules to regional jets with as few as 60 seats, which are currently exempt. You can find the full text of the proposals and instructions on offering comments from a link on the print version of this story on our website at www.aero-news.net. Comments are due in 60 days. Here's my idea. How about you make a reservation, you show up. If you don't, and you haven't given enough notice for the airline to resell the seat, the airline keeps your money. It works everywhere else. You don't see people getting bumped from their season ticket seats at NBA games. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Ron Taylor, president of PATCO, the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Association. We'll talk about PATCO's rise from the ashes, what the union's doing today, and Ron's job offer from the FAA. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You can find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.